Hello, everybody. It's Gary Stuckey with Real Music. On today's show, I've got an awesome guest. She's the next big thing in Nashville. Country singer Mackenzie Phipps is here talking about her brand new single called You Bring the Beer, I'll Bring the Noise. And she's bringing some noise and excitement today. We're going to be talking about her life and the new song and so much more. So here she is. Here's Mackenzie Phipps.
Hello. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Good. You okay?
Yes.
Yes. Are you excited?
Yes, I am very excited.
That's always good. Mm-hmm. You know, there's got to be some reason, though, that you're excited.
Oh, I know.
So let's talk about it, okay? I know you got a busy day today, so, you know, I won't keep you too long, right? But brand new single, brand new song out, and you bring the beer, I'll bring the noise. I guess you're bringing the noise right now because you're so excited. Yep. Tell me about the release and what's going on and how excited you are.
Well, I'm just so thrilled that this song is finally out, because this song is very close to home to me, because it is about my home back in Bluefield, Virginia. And this song was written by Mr. Shane Begley and produced by Mr. Sal Oliveri, as well as he did collaborate on the song. And this song is talking about who I am and what made me into the person I am today. Just growing up in a small town in Bluefield, Virginia, and I recently just relocated and moved to Nashville, Tennessee 3 months ago. And the whole song is talking about, you know, I'm from this small town and I have these big city dreams, and I would love to one day move to the big city and hope that my dreams and hard work pay off. And that's exactly what I am hoping is happening the moment.
There you go. You need to write more songs about them. Like, you know, $10 million fell from the sky. You know, write a song about that. You know, and just, you know.
Yes. But we also thought about incorporating beer into the mix just to make it overall country party song.
Well, that's what, you know, people expect to hear a lot of times when they're cranking up the music, the fun song, you know. And, but I've been listening to your voice now. I was trying to figure out, I like to do that. I'm like, who does she sound like? And I'm hearing Leanne Rimes. Have you been told Leanne Rimes?
So okay. I started doing shows when I was 14, and that is the one person I get equated to the most. And recently I've been getting Patti Loveless and also Linda Ronstadt.
Okay. Yeah. Now I've been watching some of your videos where you've been singing some covers and everything, and I think you did some Linda Ronstadt songs. And I was like, whoa. And I could hear that. Definitely hear that. And was just kind of blown away. But now I saw a clip of you singing the national anthem, and you were like, you know, this high, and you nailed it. You know, some kids, you know, they're cute. They can sing. You know, they're decent. You know, they can sing, you know, and you're like, that's cute. Oh no, you nailed it. I was like, man. So if I was in the audience that day, I would have said, she's got to be something, because your voice was just smooth. And like, you didn't, no bad notes there, and you were hitting them. So I'm just saying, I paid attention to that, but that, you know, good job on that.
Well, thank you.
So moving from small town to Nashville, how different is that?
Night and day. Night and day. So where I was in Virginia, you know, as cliche as it does sound, because I know a lot of interviewers, a lot of people that are in the music business that do move to Nashville, they're like, oh, well, I came from a small town. And I really did, because, you know, I was looking at the population records of Bluefield, and it's from like 2021, and it was like 5,000 people. But where I am in Virginia, it's located on the Virginia, West Virginia line. So there's a Bluefield, Virginia, and a Bluefield, West Virginia. So being in Virginia, there's, you know, a couple red lights. We have a Walmart. We have your basic fast food restaurants. And, you know, down in Virginia, there's a lot of more so bluegrass Americana kind of music. But you come down to Nashville, and this is where everybody comes for music. And there's such a broad spectrum of any genre you'd love to hear. You got metal, country, pop, rock, bluegrass, you name it. So I will say it is a lot more competitive down here. But I always say at the end of the day, everybody that's in music who comes to Nashville, we're all aiming for the same goal, which is to try to make it one day, whatever your definition of making it is. I've always told people that ask me, where do you see yourself in 5 years, 10 years, something like that? And I always tell them, if I get big and famous one day and my name is a household name and everybody knows me, that's cool. But if I am able to make a living off of music and financially support myself and be comfortable, I'm fine with that too. So it honestly just depends on what the Lord has paved for me on the path I am taking.
You're just taking it one day at a time, right?
Yeah.
Speaking of one day at a time, your name sounds like a girl from that show. Does anybody ever say
you're, Phillips.
You're from that one. You're like, you know, you look so much younger than I thought you would. Yeah. Talking about small towns, now, I'm in a small town called Brewton, Alabama. I don't know if you've heard of Brewton, Alabama, but there's a guy named William Lee Golden from here. You ever heard of William Lee Golden of the Oak Ridge Boys?
Yeah.
So he's from right here. So small towns produce some great sound. Hey, that rhymes. I just made that up. Can I write with you now?
Is it? I was in Alabama last year.
Were you? Time. What was going on then?
I was in Dothan visiting some family.
Oh, cool. That's a nice town. That's like east of me. I was trying to figure it out. I'm bad with directions. But your music though is taking off and everything. You've been on what, Facebook, TikTok, and all these people are checking you out. And I guess you were amazed when you woke up one morning and saw that there were like millions of people tuning in to your video, right? Is that what happened?
Yes. Right? So my two most viral videos that I've ever done were two hymns, ironically. And the first one that had went viral was Amazing Grace. And I believe I was 18 years old when that song had taken off. And at this time, I was working with Country Rebel, which is the world's largest country music platform. They hold like over 8 million followers. And they really are the ones that got me more into the public eye. So I very much appreciate them to this day. And we're still very good friends. And I would just submit videos every now and then, and they would upload them to their social media platforms, and people would come and check them out and start following my page. And my backup singer and guitarist, Shane Begley, which is the person that I was talking about, wrote this song that just released. He had suggested to me, well, why don't you do a hymn? You know, there's a lot of people out there that enjoy hymns. And of course, I got started singing in church. So I was like, you know, that's a good idea. I never thought of that. So I had actually picked a hymn that my mom really loved, and it was one of the first hymns I ever started singing in church, which was Amazing Grace. And I had recorded it, and I uploaded it, and it had gotten a couple of views for the first 2 weeks. And then it was like I woke up after 2 weeks, and my phone is just blowing up. And I'm like, why is everybody going to this video now all of a sudden? And it had gotten to 1.1 million views in the course of a couple of days. So that was very cool, especially to be 18 having that happen. So of course I continued doing videos, releasing music, doing shows, etc. And I had posted I Want to Stroll Over Heaven with You, because my aunt in Texas had actually suggested that song to me a while back one time, and I was trying to figure out what song I wanted to do, and I was like, you know, I was learning this song at one point, so let's just go back to it and do a quick video. And that song went viral within 48 hours, and it had reached 1.6 million views. And we were just shocked because it just started happening out of nowhere. And I had called my PR guy, and I was like, hey, this video's starting to really get some traction. I don't know what you want to do with it. And he was like, okay, well, tonight, if it gets to a quarter of a million views, let me know, and maybe we can do something. And I was like, it's going to hit 500,000 here in like 2 hours. I was like, that's how much this is getting momentum. And it's so crazy to me how the algorithms work on social media platforms, because that is the key to everything. And people always ask me on my page, they're like, how do you get all these views and all these comments? And I'm like, if I knew, I'd be doing it more often.
That's right. And exactly.
Even with hymns, I have noticed just with my videos, whenever I do hymns, people always seem to go back to them. Like I had a hymn uploaded of In the Garden, and I had posted that months and months and months ago. And at one point, people started getting more traction to it. So it just amazes me how algorithms and individuals out there can work. But
yeah,
I've
seen videos though that were amazing. And like you said, it's all about the algorithm. And you're like, how does it work? You know, now I posted a video of Milli Vanilli and it got like 3,000 views. So
you never know. You never know. I have a friend of mine, Jake Hoot. He was on The Voice, and we were talking backstage one time at an event, and we were just talking about, you know, sometimes posting on social media can be a pain because you never know what you want to post. And there's so many different ideas you could have. And I remember he was telling me, he was like, you know, I could pour my heart out into a song and post it and it get a couple hundred and a couple thousand views. And then I could post me putting a sticky note on the wall and it gets a million views. And I'm like, I have no idea.
Well, hopefully, like, and I know you probably don't, you know, put all your hopes and dreams into people's reaction, you know, because I think that if you are happy with what you're doing, of course it's going to show. But it don't really matter what anybody says. It matters what you think about yourself. And I think that does show whenever you're singing. You look like you're enjoying yourself when you sing. You know, you're not just like, I got to sing today. You know, you're having a good time, right? But that's got to be cool because I've been seeing you everywhere, like doing interviews, I think like on Newsmax and places like that. You've got to have this certain confidence whenever you see millions of views. And then you go from that to being on Newsmax or different shows. It's got to make you like, okay, maybe this is it. Maybe the dream is happening. Does that make you feel good when you
do that? I do very much enjoy doing interviews. And I actually joke with my mom all the time. I'm like, you know, doing interviews is one of the easiest parts of being in music because all I get to do is talk. And I love to talk. Sometimes I feel I probably talk too much in some scenarios. But I'm very fortunate for everything that I've been given, just starting out at 14 years old. And the past 7 years have been completely surreal. But I just take it like we discussed, one day at a time, and you never know what could happen. Like, I could wake up tomorrow and something big could happen or something detrimental could happen. You never know.
Well, you never know, but we're gonna believe in the something big and focus on that, right? So when you were growing up, who was your biggest influence musically, maybe like in country, and then in your personal life and your family? Who are some of those influences?
So musically, definitely is Loretta Lynn. I started singing her when I was very young. She was one of the very first individuals I started singing. And I do believe she is and always will be the queen of country music. And it broke my heart when she decided to go be with the Lord. It was very difficult because I have been very fortunate in my life to have not lost somebody very close with me. I've not really gotten to experience grief like some people out there have. And as crazy as it sounds, when she passed, that was my first moment of grief. And I know that probably sounds crazy because some people out there are probably like, well, you never met her. You know, she did all of this stuff and you never got the chance to meet her. She could have been a great person. She could have been a bad person. You have no idea. But her music really touched me. And just her story touched me that she came from a small town in Kentucky. And her husband was like, come on, we're going to do this. You're going to be big and I'm going to make you do it, whether you like it or not, because you have the talent to do it. And when she passed, it was very difficult for me because I woken up that morning, I was home alone. And the first thing I looked at on my phone, my parents both texted me and they said Loretta died. And I just sat there and I just cried in my bed. It was terrible. It was really terrible. But I guess the Lord decided heaven needed more joy to it on that day. So she is always going to be one of my biggest idols. And I will never not sing her music at my shows or out at any kind of event. So she is definitely my music person. And as far as people in my family that are very big role models to me, my mom is definitely the one that I would not be anywhere without my mom. I really wouldn't. She is the person behind the scenes. She's helping me with things I don't half understand. She's the reason I've even been doing this stuff, because I knew I could sing, but she knew when I was young that I had a very big talent, and she pushed me to do so many things that at the time I thought were crazy for especially like a 14-year-old to be doing. You know, I was doing shows in bars and doing shows at different venues and festivals and all that. And I was like, I'm 14 years old and I'm so nervous and I'm scared. What if I'm not good enough? And she always pushed me to strive for excellence. And she still does to this very day. So I would not be anywhere without my mom.
Well, I know she appreciates you saying that. Maybe she'll throw you some money or something. Tell her I said no. So is there a singer that you want to work with, that you haven't worked with before, or maybe tour with or do a show with, that would make your dreams come true? Who would that be?
Love Ashley McBride. I okay. love her. I think she is a phenomenal singer and songwriter. The first time I ever got introduced to Ashley McBride, I've never met her yet. But the first time I ever found out about her was I was actually going and watching Miranda Lambert perform. And she was one of the opening acts for Miranda Lambert. And I didn't know of her at the time. She was relatively new and getting out there. And my dad had pulled up some of her music and seemed to be very interested in her. So we went and watched her perform at Miranda Lambert's concert. And I just loved all of her songs. And I felt her songs were very relatable to me and what I have going on in my life, especially her song, Girl Going Nowhere. I very much enjoy that one, and I would play that one all the time. And she's just so down to earth. At least she seems so down to earth. And she doesn't care what anybody thinks. And she's busted her butt in Nashville for such a long time to get where she is today. And I admire her so much. So I would love for one day to meet her.
I hope that happens. Yeah. So whoever's watching, make that happen. Help a girl out.
Yes.
Right? Just saying. Help her out. But yeah, talking about the influences and, you know, people like Loretta Lynn, though, you feel like you know them because you listen to their music all the time. Probably people listen to your song, your new single, and they go, I can relate to this. And maybe I always like reading biographies. That's why I love doing interviews, because I get to find out more about the people. And it's like you become their friend, even though you've never known this person, but suddenly a part of them, and you always take a part of them with you. Because what they've said has kind of entered your heart, you know, and you kind of keep that with you. That's what happens with music with Loretta. It just touched your heart and you related to her. And that, to me, that's what music does. Don't you think music is such a great thing that brings people together, that really helps you out when you're having a song like your new single, that kind of brings people together, gets them thinking and gets them smiling, right?
Yes, and it amazes me how much my music can resonate with people, even songs that are not mine that I cover, like my hymns, for example. I think music touches people in ways that actions just cannot. I think music just hits a certain nerve with people, and it could be a happy song, a sad song, an angry song. Music can fit in any emotion that the human being has, and you know, that's the one thing I always turn to. If I'm sad, I'm going to turn on sad music. If I'm happy and riding down my car, I'm going to play a fun, happy song. If I'm mad, I'm going to play something that's angry. So there's something out there for everybody. And it's just amazing how much music can resonate with people in their own way.
Yeah, no, it really does work like that. So have you been playing a lot since you've come to Nashville? What kind of shows you've been doing?
I have been doing some open mics and writers' nights, and I have been getting some more shows under my belt since I did move here 3 months ago, as well as I do go back home for some shows. I went back home to Virginia actually last weekend for a four-show weekend, and that's what I'm going to be doing for 2024 as well. I'll be branching out to different states to be doing shows as well and just going around the East Coast, and hopefully one day I can make it out to a lot more states around the world, but I'm just taking it day by day, going with what the Lord has to offer. And I just love playing for people back home as well as down in Tennessee. So if anybody's interested in coming and checking me out, I do still have some shows on my roster this 2023 year. So you can go check those out on any of my social medias. I'm available on TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, and my website, mckenziephipps.com. And if you come to one of my shows, maybe our paths will meet.
There you go. Well, maybe you can come down to Alabama, down south, near the Florida line, to Brewton, Alabama. Just saying. But I know that people are going to love your music. I know the new single. I know you're excited. And I hope all the best for you. And oh, yeah, one more thing before I let you go. how about doing a cover one day of my favorite hymn, Precious Lord, Take My Hand? How about that? Put that on your list and see what you
I
can
will.
do. How about that? But that's,
put it.
See,
Lord, that's, take my hand.
All right.
There you go.
I appreciate
can make that happen.
My all-time favorite hymn.
All right, I got it written down.
Awesome.
I'm always looking for new hymns.
Well, there you go. I'll take him. No, no, but thank you so much for talking to me today. I know you've got a busy day and you're excited. Don't have too much fun. Don't get too excited that you just pass out from sheer joy. Because
well,
nobody
thank you
wants
so much
to do that.
For meeting with me today, Gary. I really do appreciate it.
All righty. Well, you have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right. Bye. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. And be sure to check out Mackenzie's website, mackenziephipps.com, for more information. And always remember to keep the music real.